But what we're going to be sharing on tonight is David, lessons on David the Christ line. And his name is really David, which would be like D-A-W-V-E-E-D.
Oh, David.
Yeah, and so one thing I think we see with Hebrew is usually there is no A, it's always A. So it's not Abraham, it's Abraham. So usually every time you see an A, it's, what do they call it? Silent, not silent, but a long A instead of a short, what's it?
Soft A.
Soft, yeah, soft A.
So it's got the little smile.
I'll probably say David instead of David.
David.
Yeah, really David. Little points begin with his life, and his kingship begins at age 30. He reigns for 40 years, and when he goes to sleep, it's 70. So you got 30, 40, and 70. These are the perfect numbers. Perfection, you know, 30 is the perfection of divine order, 3 times 10. Joseph's ministry was 30, David was 30, and Christ was 29, or at least almost 30. 40 is number of...
Probation.
And he reigned for 40 years. And 70, we've got down, is two of the perfect numbers, 7 and 10. 7 times 10 is 70. And so Bollinger says a perfect spiritual order. We begin with David. We'll do David for this tape. And Ruth 4:17. That's where he first pops up.
Ruth what?
4:17, page 288. David. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Yeah, 4:17, page 288. And you want to read that, Melania?
So Naomi took the boy.
No, 17. You're on 16
there. And the woman, her neighbors gave him a name, saying, "There is born a son to Naomi." So they called his name Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David.
David. And then at the end, you get to see at the end of this book, what's the last word?
Perez.
David.
David. And Jesse begat David. And so what you've got is a whole structure before he's even born. And this is the book of Ruth. Now we go to Matthew 1:1, page 1. And the first book of the word in the New Testament of David. Where really is coming? We always associate it with Christ, the Christ line, the Christ line, the Christ line. So he is our pre-Christ, in essence, when it comes down to.
Precursor? Is that what that's called?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, there's something else to representing the Christ. The lineage role of Yahushua Mashiach, son of David, son of Abraham, the son of David. Now, the last book of the word is going to Revelation 22, and this is how the book ends. That's it. 22:16. Okay, you want to read that, Isaiah?
Yes. "And Yahushua have sent my messenger to bear witness unto you all these things for the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star."
That's it. I am the root and the offspring of David. And I think about how important this guy is.
Yeah, how...
You know, I started looking at it today, but it's all representing Christ. It's a precursor to Christ, because you look at 2 Samuel, what is it about? It's all about David, David, the whole book. 1 Samuel, half of it, or a great percentage of it, is David. Mm-hmm. You know, 2 Chronicles, I mean, but you're looking at just, when you're looking at apostles, you know, if we get a chapter, you're pretty important. If you get a line, and we're certain apostles, you have no idea who they even are. Mm-hmm. There's nothing whatsoever.
They always lined it up with walked in the ways or didn't.
He was a standard.
Yeah.
And so that's really the Christ line is what he's coming down to. So this guy is remarkable. And so things we can think about with Christ. So Saul could be likened to the first Adam. He was anointed and he fell. David was like the second Adam, was anointed and succeeded. And so you're looking at the correlation between Saul, mm-hmm. who Yahweh pointed and said, the line, your line would have ruled forever.
Yeah.
And you blew it. So think of Adam and Eve, too. Adam and Eve. Adam. Sorry, so that's really his name. It's not Adam. It's Adam, actually, on that, too. And we go to 1 Samuel 16, page 304. We'll be doing a lot in 1 Samuel. So with our Father's word is, how much do you want to know? And he's not going to give it to you unless you seek it out. So no matter how many times you go to it, there's more things you do not know that can be revealed to you if you have a heart to look in that. And I think of that with Yahushua when we told people the parables. You did a teaching on that once about parables. The purpose of parables was not to give information to the people who are arrogant. Very simple. It was not for you to understand. So you spoke specifically to confuse them. And the only time you could do it is if you came and asked them, can you explain this to me? Okay, that's the only people who are going to get it. Yeah. And with our Father's word,
it's the treasure hunters.
He's not begging us to take it. It's like, I'm the creator of everything. If you beg for it, I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. And like Bolger said, he says, like the earth, the top of it is great, and it can sustain you. You know, corn, farming, vegetables, you can live a great life. But it's not till you dig underneath the topsoil where you find the jewels, the diamonds, the rubies, the gold, the minerals. And very few people end up digging for that, which is fine. They got everything that that can sustain
subsistence,
them, and they live for a life, which is very good. They just aren't interested in digging. So 1 Samuel, we're going to read 16:1-13. And here's the story. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long art thou going to pine for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and come, let me send thee unto Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me among his sons a king. And so we can learn on ourselves too. He's not going to tell the name of the person. So Yahweh is holding back information all the time. Go to the next step, go to the next step, go to the next step. It would have been nice to say, yeah, his name is David. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd go to Jesse and say, where is David? But he's not going to do that, is he? And Samuel said, how can I go as soon as Saul heareth, he will slay me? What a great anointed man of Yahweh. So another lesson there. Can a great pastor turn?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so you see, here's an anointed king by Yahweh, and he turned. And then said Yahweh, a heifer take thou with thee, and say, to sacrifice unto Yahweh am I coming. Is that the truth?
No.
Yes. Is that the full truth? No. I'm not going to say I'm going to anoint David. Then shalt thou bid Jesse to the sacrifice, when I will let thee know what thou must do, so shalt thou anoint for me him whom I shall name unto thee. There. So Samuel did that which Yahweh had spoken and went to Bethlehem. And Beth means what? House of bread. So anytime you see the word Beth, it's B-E-T-H, is house. And so Bethsaida, and it's like a house of figs or a house of olives. So same thing with Beth is house of. Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him. This is great. I love this. Respect. And said, peacefully comest thou? His reputation preceded
him.
Yeah, preceded him. And many times that's what it should be. Yep. Why? Is there anything I should know about?
Yeah, you go ask him.
Yeah. You have a brothel here? And he said, peacefully, to sacrifice unto Yahweh am I come. Hollow yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he hollowed Jesse and his sons and bade them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they entered that he looked unto Elab, and El is Yahweh is mighty, God, El, I. And what is Ab?
Father.
Father. So you know my father is El, or El is my father. Surely before Yahweh is his anointed, and that's us, very simply. You look at the big guy, Saul was chosen, he was a man who was head above everybody else. And so you're looking at that, but Yahweh said unto Samuel, do not regard his countenance, and it's also his face. So whenever you see the word countenance, it's usually paran, which means face. Or the height of his stature, for I have rejected him, for it is not what man looketh at to, but what Elohim looketh to. For man looketh unto the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh to the heart. And here's an example. If Elijah was going to be here, and all your children, I would say, okay, Elijah, bring your sons forward. And you bring them, and then people would look at Elijah and say, I'm going to anoint one of them. And people look at Elijah, and he's tall, and it must be Elijah. And he's older. And Elab was the same way. He was the oldest. It's not him. Well, it must be Isaiah then. Not him. Well, do you have any other children? Well, here's Esther. Bring her in here. Well, I thought you just wanted the sons. And here's Esther,
Ruth.
Yeah, how old is Esther?
10.
And 10 it is. And Esther, you have been anointed. Wow! All of us would say, man, she's 10 years old. And David was going to be probably around 15, 16. Same situation. But I think we let that live in our eyes. For man looketh to the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh to the heart. Then Jesse called Abba, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither this one hath Yahweh choice. And so what is Samuel waiting for? Information when the person passes. And that's word of knowledge. So we've got to think about it. When all of a sudden you're like, do I do this? No, nothing's clicking. And when we say nothing's clicking, don't do anything.
Right.
Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, not of this one hath Yahweh made choice. So Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, Yahweh hath not made choice of these. Well, obviously, Jesse didn't think much of David, or he would have been there. Then said Samuel unto Jesse, are these all the young men? And he said, there yet remaineth the youngest, but lo, he is tending the sheep. Then said Samuel unto Jesse, do send and summons him, for we cannot sit round until he is coming in hither. Now think of the older brothers, who might be 25, a soldier, everything else. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, a stripling. And what is a stripling?
A young man.
Young man. So we think of trees a lot of times, they're called striplings, something that are just growing up. I think it actually just means they're growing. And handsome eyes and noble minion.
Mean.
Then said Yahweh, rise, anoint him, for this is he. I mean, this is great. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren and his father. And the Ruach of Yahweh came mightily upon David from that day forward. And we have the same Ruach of Yahweh. Now we have different ministries. Then arose Samuel and went his way unto Ramah. We're going to come back here, but we're going to do a little diversion right here. And we also thinking about anointed by Yahweh, you should say, cool, I'm not going to have any more problems. Because I'm anointed, I'm going to be king, I'm not going to have any more problems. I mean, usually you think, or is it just the opposite? I think you're going to have a lot of problems. The higher position you're going to have, look at Donald Trump. The higher positions, the more problems you're going to have. If you go to page 919, I'm going to give you a little instruction here. This is the appendix. This is important when you read of Rotherham and other Bibles. And under Pharaoh's heart, the heart enough. Page 919. Everybody there? Look at Pharaoh's heart, the heart enough. Mm-hmm. Everybody there?
Mm-hmm.
Second paragraph. The importance of the question thus suggests is coupled with the consideration of the translator's responsibility.
I have no idea where you are.
Second paragraph.
Come on. What are you interrupting this? Second paragraph.
Okay.
To do all he fairly came to guard the readers from going astray may render a few further facts and observations of practical interest. This is the part right here. It is right on the part of the translator of the emphasized Bible that he has endeavored to avoid representing God as the author or instigator of wickedness. And we're going to see that. So he's going to change that, which we're going to see, and I can see his intentions. But we've got to remember, and all the other translations do it except for the Old King James and the American Standard Bible. When it says God is doing evil, that's what the Hebrew Scripture says. Now we have to understand they were not the best our explanation is Yahweh can't do evil, so it has to be an idiom or a figure, because at that particular time they were not aware of Satan and the spiritual powers. So there's no, do they, do demons exist? Yeah. Do they know about them? No. Do they know about the spiritual wickedness? No, they don't know about any of this stuff. So everything is going to be attributed to Yahweh, good and bad. So he says, I make the blind and I make the deaf. Well, what the heck is that? That's not a God of love. And so this is important, what we're going to be getting into. And so now we're going to go into, let's just go back to 1 Samuel 16 again. Next verse, 16:14. So we know that David just got anointed with the Ruach of Yahweh. Right here. Yeah, 16:14. Now what was that? 16:13. I'm in 2 Samuel, no wonder.
Second Samuel?
No, it's First Samuel. But I couldn't find it because I'm in Second Samuel. Now, we know in 13, he gets anointed with the Ruach of Yahweh. 14, what's it say? But the Ruach of Yahweh departed from Saul, and there terrified him a sad spirit. And the word is Ra, which is evil, from Yahweh. And it's interesting, you're going to see his preference is, you know, look at the spirit of Yahweh on verse 13. Spirit is capitalized, Ruach. On 14, it's small, it's not capitalized. But then the spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and there terrified him an evil spirit from Yahweh. And that's what everybody has trouble with, which is understandable. Then said the servants of Saul unto him, lo, we pray thee, a sad superhuman, it's Raha, evil spirit, doth terrify thee. Pray, let our Lord bid thy servants before thee, seek out a man skilled in playing on the lyre, so he shall be, when an evil ruach come upon thee, which obviously is a demon, a force, or an evil spirit of some kind, then shall he play with his hand, thou shalt be joyful. So this is where we get into these places of the transformation of an anointed individual who goes against the calling of Yahweh. We know that Yahweh Saul was a great individual. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, then took Samuel a flask of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not that Yahweh hath anointed thee over his inheritance as leader? So Yahweh anointed him in verse 9, And so it was that when he turned away to depart from Samuel, Elohim gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. So great things happened to Samuel, to Saul. And we know he had courage. Let's go to chapter 11. And here is a person going against, let me see here. I thought it was the Gideons. But Jabez Gilead. And the king came up and said, well, I'm going to take over you unless you pull out your right eyes. If you pull out your right eyes, I won't take over you. Can you imagine? I mean, yeah. Yes, we can imagine that. The evilness that happens. Well, this comes to Samuel in verse 4. And when the messengers came to Gibed of Saul, and spake the words in the ears of the people, all the people lifted up their voices and wept. But lo, Saul came in, following the oxen out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they should weep? Then were recounted to him the words of the men of Jabesh, and the Ruach of Elohim came suddenly upon Saul when he heard these words, and his anger raged furiously. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent throughout all the bounds of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall be done unto his ox. So this is courage. He's going to fight the enemy. But we're going to see in 17, that's not the case anymore. Once the spirit leaves, the Ruach leaves Saul. Let's see here. Fear comes in. Let's see, 16:14. And so we're going to go into 17. And 17, look at the heading, David and Goliath. So now we're going into Goliath. And verse 10. And the Philistines said, I reproach the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words from the Philistines, they were dismayed in what?
Feared exceedingly.
That's what happens when you walk away from Yahweh. That's what happened to the mighty Saul, who conquered many different people. His fears now set in. And go to verse 16. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself. How many days?
40 days.
Probation. Same as David's kingship is 40 years. Now we go to verse 24. Now all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from before him and did what, Melania?
Trying to find 24. Fled from him, feared exceedingly.
So here's what fear. For 40 days, they were talking back and forth. 40 days, because of fear. Now, as we know, when David comes in 34, then, as we know, he's saying, what about this guy? And what do you get? Well, you're going to get a king's daughter. Okay. So David comes in and says, and he's talking to Saul. Then said David unto Saul, thy servant used to tend his father's sheep, and there cometh upon a lion or a bear. And I bet you this is after the Ruach of Yahweh was upon him. And carried off a lamb out of the flock. Now, if a lion was carrying a lamb off your flock, what would you do? If you had a stick? Probably let the lamb have it. The lion have it. Right? Okay. You got that lion. Don't come back here again. David doesn't do this. He goes after the lion. This is faith. So you got to remember, faith is action, is an action word. And so if you don't engage, the victory is not going to come. Yahweh, pray and give me that lamb back. Pray that the lion dies or the bear dies. Pray. But here's what David did, 35, and I would go out after him and smite him. It's a stick, I think. Whack it, and so it drops the lamb, right? And rescued it out of his mouth, Okay, no problem. Run away, right? But what happens? And if he rose against me, all right, I ran.
Mm-mm. No.
I would catch him by his beard and smite him and slay him. I mean, this is just... But that's action. So you have to understand, that is a faith. That's a person who has powers. And we know there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but also people who have powers and also healing, mighty works. They call mighty works. Thy servant could slay either a lion or a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall become as one of them, for he hath reproached the ranks of a living Elohim. Things are changing. And David said, Yahweh, who hath rescued me, you know, so he knows why he succeeded with a lion and a bear. Yahweh, who hath rescued me out of the power of the lion. And does the lion have power over a man?
Yes.
Yes, he does. He does. And out of the power of the bear, isn't that interesting, the word power on each one? Power of the bear. So this wasn't a little cub, or little cubs on anything where you beat him. He will rescue us out of the hand of this Philistine. So that's faith in Yahweh. I've been anointed, and I've been actually in training camp. So this is very important. Your lives, all of our lives, are in training. As we walk forth against fear, when we're supposed to, and we get a little confidence, and a little more confidence, and a little more confidence. And so the person who raised somebody from the dead never started there. He started with a toothache. He started with something else, or in finance, or whatever area your gift is. Then said Saul unto David, go, and Yahweh be with thee. Now this is very important too, and sometimes we overlook this. 38 and 39, and the lessons here. Saul clad David with his own military coat, and set a helmet of bronze upon his head, and clad him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword about his military coat, but was reluctant to go, for he had not proved them. So David said unto Saul, I cannot go on these, for I have not proved them. And David put them all off from them. Then took he a stick in his hand, and chose him five stones, smooth stones, out of the torrent bed, and put them in his shepherd's pouch, which he had even in his wallet, and had a sling in his hand, and drew near unto the Philistine. Now that is just ridiculous. But there's a big lesson in here. Yahweh is teaching the Israelites and David, and the whole point is, it's not by sword or shield, but by Yahweh. And so he is coming in to show, to illustrate this teaching. So somebody has a tank, doesn't bother me, you know, because I've got Yahweh. And that's the lesson we're going to learn here. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man carrying the shield was before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth and ruddy, a stripling of fair countenance, or fair face. Then said the Philistine unto David, a dog am I, that thou art coming unto me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his Elohims. And the Philistine said unto David, come unto me, that I may give... Now watch what we're going to make a distinguishing between what he says and David says. Come unto me, that I may give thy flesh to the birds of the heaven and to the beasts of the field. Now, Melania, go hand these out to people. This is out of the Youngs, the next verse, which is important. I think I've got eight. Because as we've talked before, in Hebrew there's no future tense. There's no tense at all. Something's either complete or it's not complete. It's either perfect or imperfect. Young's is the only translation that will keep it the accurately the way it's done. So now we're going to examine what he's doing now. And David said unto the Philistine, everybody look at the paper, thou art coming unto me with sword and with spear, remember, and with buckler. So here's the lesson. I am coming unto you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of the ranks of Israel. It's not with a sling and a stick, it's in the name of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Which thou hath reproached. This day does Yahweh shut thee up into my hand. Isn't that a great translation? And what I will smite thee?
No, I have.
I have smitten thee. That when Yahweh says place a future event into the completed task, that means it's done.
It's done. Mm-hmm.
Right. For I have smitten thee, and turn aside thy head. Remember, he said, I'm going to kill you. Now watch this. Turn aside thy head from off of thee, and give them the carcass of the camp. Now watch. The second part is very simple. I'm not even going to kill you. I'm going to kill all of you. Here's the second part. And the carcass of the camp of the Philistines. That's it. The camp of the Philistines. This day to the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth and all the earth to know that Elohim is for Israel. And all this assembly do know that not by sword and by spear does Yahweh save, that the battle is Yahweh, and he will give you into my hands.
Hath
given you into my hands. And you're going to see that he's going to kill them all. And if you go to the Rothman again, and I see 45 is going to be a little more intelligible on that. We'll start. But I am coming in the middle. But I am coming unto the name of Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of the rank of Israel, which thou hast reproached. This day will Yahweh deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from off thee, and will give thy dead body and the dead bodies of the host. All right, of the Philistines. So not only checkmate. So the Philistine said, I'm going to kill you and rip your head off. He says, I'm going to kill you, rip your head off, and kill the rest of you too. And I got a stick and a sling. Isn't that great? Let's see. Oh, yeah, that we know. Okay. And let's see here.
It says Israel hath a God, and here it says
43.
Elohim is for Israel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And we know he did it. And actually, we're going to see that he sunk the stone into his head. And the word sunk is actually there. So Yahweh might have a lot of velocity on that stuff. But it didn't have to kill him, because he had to kill him with his own sword. Mm-hmm. With Goliath's sword, which you get to see everybody watching. And cut off his head. And I love how Saul says, who is this guy? And after they kill the Philistines, like Yahweh said, he comes back and David gets to pick up the head and go meet Saul.
Hey, brother.
Photo! Selfie! And what was the promise on this? Don't they get one of your daughters?
Right.
Get to be part of the...
Dad didn't attack you anymore.
Dad! I got his head. Dad! But that's just the beginning. You say, end of story, great, he's got the kingdom. No, it doesn't happen that way at all. It's not going to happen in our lives either. If we stand, the people who cowered will not be hated by the world. The next part is, the rest of the book is about destroying David. That's the attempt, is to destroy David, which is to destroy Yahweh. Yahushua says, you will be hated by the world because of me, in Matthew 10:22 and 24:9, Mark 13:13, Luke 21:17. Does the church even teach this anymore? Are the kids ready for this? Guess what? David is like Christ. People loved him, or they want to kill him. That is a true representative of Yahweh. Because you're in a world and you're not of the world. They want it, they love Christ, and the other half wanted to kill him. And they did kill him. And so that's going to be the same way with us. It comes with the territory. And to stop that, I don't want to be hated, I want to be loved, then you're going to compromise. And wherever churches they are, that's what they've done. So they've silenced themselves to stop that hatred, and that's exactly what our adversary wants. Mm-hmm. Good. You silence yourself. Now get in line, and you won't be hated. I just want to be loved. I want a hug. But now we go to 18, verse 9 through 12. And Saul was eyeing David from that day forward. Wow! He's a great guy, right? He's going to love David, right? No. And when it came to pass on the morrow that a, you know, evil spirit of sadness came suddenly upon Saul, and he was moved to raving in the midst of the house, and David began playing with his hand, as he had done day by day, that a spear being in Saul's hand, Saul hurled the spear and said to him, I will smite David even to the wall. But David moved. What kind of payment is that? I'm supposed to be, I just saved Israel from Goliath. That looks like, I get it, I'm going to be killed by the king. That's because you've got a, you know, a demonized individual probably ruling the kingdom. That's Obama and all sorts of other people in our government. They are demonized and they are servants of darkness. They're there for a purpose. And in 25, okay, I'm not going to kill him. Let the Philistines kill him, and then I'll look good. Then said Saul, thus shall we say unto David, the king hath no delight in purses, prices, but rather in 100 foreskins of the Philistines by avenging himself on the enemies of the king. So Saul thought to let David fall by the hands of the Philistines. And so I'm going to have him attack so he can be killed. And I go, oh, I'm so sad. Let's have a service for him. Let's make a monument. He's gone. Not going to bother me anymore. Chapter 26. So he just started, and things are getting worse, and they're getting worse, and they're getting worse. And we won't even go. There's a time's getting short, but it's in 27, 21 to 25, David spares Saul's life. And he says, I'm not going to chase you anymore. And you believe Saul?
No.
Mm-mm. No. So don't believe your enemy, do you? Can your enemies go to church with you?
No.
Yeah, they're probably there. There. And 28, 5, and 6. Now here is Saul. He's gone from Yahweh. They've walked away from Yahweh. Guess what happens? When Saul saw the host of the Philistine, he was afraid and his heart trembled exceedingly. That's what happens when you walk away from Yahweh. 30. You think things are great? 1 through 6. And it came to pass, and David's been on the run for maybe 15 years, being hunted. I get anointed king, and I run for my life for 15 years. Thanks for nothing. You know? And people want to say, I want to serve you. Well, good. Do you mind being hunted? Yeah.
Delivered.
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, I want to just be loved and love. No, we got to have somebody. They're going to hate you. Well, I don't want that job. I don't want that. And that's what it comes down to. I don't want that job. And so very few people wanted the office of a prophet to be able to say, I want to tell the future. And everybody go, I want you to go up there and tell them, you know, speak my word and tell him he's a pit viper. 31. And it came to pass when David and his men came to Ziklag, all of his family were there. On the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid into the south and into Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, that's their homes, and had taken captive the women and all who were there, that was his wives. Wait a minute, Yahweh, I thought you were with me. From small even unto great, they had not put one to death, but had driven them forth and gone their way. So when David had his men came to the city, lo, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Oh, God, you think life's going to be easy for somebody in this position? Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more strength to weep. I mean, that is... And the two wives... Not only are you on the run, you can't be in the Hebrews, you have to live with the Philistines, and now you've lost all your family, your kids. Okay, I didn't know I was signing up for this gig. And the two wives of David had been taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was in sore distress, for the people had spoken of stoning him. Great job title, huh? Because the soul of all the people were embittered, every man for his own sons and for his own daughters. But David emboldened himself in Yahweh, his Elohim. And They go after him. He asked, should I go up? Yes, go up. He went after him, saved them all. But that's part of the now we go to 1 Kings 1. So 2 Samuel is all about David being king and fighting. So think of Yahushua. Yahushua did sign up for the gig. You're going to be really loved because you're healing people, and then people want to kill you. And it's really the people from the church. Yeah, sorry, I forgot to tell you about that. It's not the unbelievers. They could really care less. It's the religious people.
Now, 1 Kings what?
1. 1 Kings 1. 1. Now, King David was old, advanced in days, and it covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Okay. We're looking, he's old. 15 and 16. 15 through 18. You want to read that, Melania?
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, pretty good now. Something else is about ready to happen. He's 70 years old, ending out his reign. You know, look what happens. Go ahead. 15 to 18.
So Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber. Now the king was very old, and Abishag, the Shunammite was ministering unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage unto the king. And the king said, what aileth thee? And she said unto him, my lord, thou thyself didst swear by Yahweh thy Elohim unto thy handmaid, assuredly Solomon thy son shall become king after me. Yea, he shall sit upon my throne. But now, lo, Adonijah hath become king. Now, therefore, my lord, O king, thou knowest it not.
Okay, we'll stop there. That's his other son. And we know it, Absalom, and we know his daughter, Tamar, got raped by his son, other son. And so you're like, man. If you're anointed in on this earth, which we all are, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, so we should not be shocked. And we will get paid very good for it. We'll be very successful. And then, let's see. And then we know in chapter 2, verse 1, I think we're kind of running out of time, but he's giving instructions to Solomon and said, watch out for these three people. And one of them is Joab, and there's two other people. And so he's going to go to sleep. He's 70 years old. Now, we're going to look in and the importance of being the son of David. And we're at Matthew 1:6, finishing it up, which is Christ. So Christ knows the book backwards and forward when he is, coming into the ministry. He is the new David. And they would say, son of David. And I love this. And Jesse begat David, the king. Isn't that great? No other places that say that, the king. Well, who else is the king? Christ. Lord of Lord and King of Kings. And so this is the reflection. Now we go to Luke 1, 27. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Son of David. David. 27. Unto a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the name of the virgin was Mary, or Miriam. So the house of David just carries on, maybe 1,000 years, I don't know how many years there are between David and 500 or 1,000 years. Now we go to 32, verse 32. And the same shall be great, the Son of the Most High shall be called, and Yahweh Elohim will give unto him the throne of David his father. That's what it's all about. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob unto the ages, and of his reign or kingdom there shall be no end. That is David. 2:4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah, into the city of David. So not only was he king, you've got the son of David, you've got the seed of David, you've got the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. And verse 11, that there have been born unto you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord in the city of David. So obviously it's carried all the way to the new king, the Christ line, born in the exact same city who's going to carry on where he did. And we saw that in his ministry, he was being fought just like David was.
Mm-hmm.
And as new king, when he comes back in Revelations, you know, in the Revelation, he's going to be king of kings and fighting and killing just like that. And finally, it's going to be peaceful in the last part. Acts 13, we won't go there, but Acts 13 really explains the house of David and Yahushua and the house of David that goes on. Chapter 13, 16 through 39. So we'll kind of end on that. And on schedule. And I'll go ahead and give a prophecy. But Father, we thank you and praise you for just these stories, opening our eyes and rising up. These are not just history stories. These are present instructions for our own lives. So we can, when we get into these situations of persecution or being hated or being loved or being attacked, we can have these encounters in our head and say, what did David do in this situation? Or what did Christ do in this situation? Oh, one other thing I'm going to say before I pray. Goliath was David's enemy, right? Who was Christ's biggest enemy?
Satan.
Oh, yeah. So look at that. So he got confronted right off the bat with Satan, the adversary, the devil. And he conquered him in the wilderness. So you think about that, the same slaughtering of the same deal. He rose up, and it's not by sword or shield or anything else. It was by the word of Yahweh that he cut Satan down. Yeah. Okay, thank you for these words through Christ our Lord. As you begin these days and as you begin your life and you follow the course of your life, know that I live those moments. I take those moments seriously and reflect upon those moments and have your ears open and your heart open and your mind open for revelation, for information that I can impart into you in order that you may be profitable unto me, that I can communicate to you, that you may be my hands and my feet and my mouth, that you can go ahead and be instruments, great sterling silver instruments that will accomplish my will. I need more and more and more of you to be bold and be reckless according to my word, not regarding the traditions of man. So rise up, and because you have been anointed, you have been given the spirit of Ruach, and the